For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, August the 31st, 1980. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Labor Day Camp Meeting, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is Testimony and Praise Service with Irma Miller, moderator. This
is
taken.
The blood is flowing over me. The blood is flowing over me. My guilty stains and to set my spirit free. The blood is flowing over me. The blood is flowing over me. To wash away my guilty stains and to set my spirit free.
Luke 4:18 tells us about the Spirit of the Lord. And this Spirit of the Lord is upon us today. And the Lord has been telling me to do this for 2 days, but I've been resisting it. And so there's somebody here, apparently, beside me, that we need to hear this scripture. And as the Lord moves on you, you may have to, in the name of Jesus, lay your hand on somebody near you as the Lord moves, because it talks. About healing the brokenhearted. So there's some people here today that are brokenhearted, and Jesus came to set us free. And so if the Lord leads you this morning, whoever's here of a broken heart, just receive deliverance in the name of the Lord and let Him set you free. And if the Lord moves on a brother or sister nearby to lay their hands on you in love, would you receive it and would you just obey the Lord?
The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free, to open prison doors and cause the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free, to open prison doors and cause the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free, to open prison doors and cause the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me.
As As you feel the Spirit of the Lord move upon you, if you have a broken heart and you've never been set free, would you just release yourself to the Lord Jesus and let him set you free now? As we continue to sing this song, just believe the Lord that he is here to set you free. Because his heart was broken, you know, for you and for me. So he knows all about broken hearts. And he is the healer of broken hearts.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
His faithfulness to the saints of the living God. We're more than his children. We're growing up in him. What you've seen here this morning was the move of the Holy Ghost. Nobody planned any deliverance, but you see, music is one of the greatest weapons against the enemy. Music, the right kind of music, is one of the greatest weapons. The high praises, the beautiful music, the angelic singing. If you would open your spiritual eyes this morning, you would see thousands of angels in this building and around on this campground. Some of them are the warring angels, circling, keeping back the enemy. See, the enemy does not like this place, and we don't like him either. And he's already kicked up a fuss this morning. That doesn't bother me at all. I enjoy seeing him run out of the people and leave and run out of this building. The Lord is going to have a people that are pure, without spot and blemish. And he said he's going to have them, and he's going to have them. Now, some of it isn't very pretty, but that doesn't bother us. We know where, Glenn and I know where we have come from. We sat right in a church. This coming January, it will be 50 years for me, and I was born again in an Assembly of God church. So was Glenn. And yet I sat in that church and literally, practically, became demon-possessed and didn't even know there was a devil. The bitterness, the rebellion, I was a real rebel. And I know what I'm talking about. I know where I've come from. I know what it is to be mentally sick and heart sick. I know what it is to have the enemy take you over, and you don't even know it until it was almost too late. I know what it is to be delivered, and I'm still getting delivered. Some of you may not understand this, but please don't fight it. Please do not fight it. This is a move of God that none of us really understands, but God can move the way He wants to move. We have long, too long, been so domineering and so rebellious and so full of witchcraft that we have told God where to go, when to do it. But He says, I will drive your enemies out little by little. Now, I'm the type of person in the world, Glenn and I were very high up in the aerospace industry, and we were used to getting the show on the road. Let's get going, come on. But God doesn't always work like that. He doesn't work like that with me because He's delivering me as He pleases, not as I please. And I want to read just a little scripture this morning, and then we're going to have some testimonies. How many know what it really means to be rebellious, to be a rebel? Derek Prince used to come by me and he says, you're such a rebel? I didn't even know what he meant. I really didn't. I was so rebellious that I was so blinded, I didn't even know. He never bothered to pray for me. He just told me what was the matter with me. And I finally had to search it out, get in the Bible. Now, if you want to read about rebellion, you just read about the children of Israel, because they were a number one rebellious people. Now, they are our example. In the Old Testament, they were called God's people. In the New Testament, we are called God's people or the church. But we need to read about the rebellious and the idolatrous. None of us really get down and worship an idol, but we're still full of idolatry. We idolize homes, children, cars, things, and we have brought in the ways of the heathen. If you don't think so, you go and examine in your house what all's in there from Japan. It's the ways of the heathen, exactly the opposite of what God had ever planned. You read, He always told them, do away with everything of the heathen nations, didn't He? So God is fine-tuning us now. We're not playing church anymore. There is a group coming out of a people and out of a people and out of a people, and they have made up their mind. You have to make up your mind, you know that? That you want to serve God. You can't just, oh, well, I'll go to church this morning. So what? You know, they'll carry on a little while, and then we can come home. You people have made up your mind, or you wouldn't be in here this morning, that you want more. You're hungry. I was so hungry, and I had quoted the Lord's Prayer whenever, you know, I pleased. But I never really saw what the Lord's Prayer really was until one day I came on that, and God opened my eyes to deliver us from all evil. I used to walk through my house in California and say, Lord, deliver me from all evil. Turn the light on my heart and let the Holy Spirit shine on me and show me the evilness in me. And believe you me, He began. And I didn't like some of it, but I said, I want to get rid of it. And I still want to get rid. I want to be without spot or blemish. I really do. And it's through the blood of Jesus, through deep repentance. It's more than a decision. A decision is fine, but then it takes some deep repentance. I think it's in Psalms 32 where David says, I keep repenting and repenting before God until all my sins are unfolded to Him. Think about that a little bit. Till all of my sins are unfolded to Him. Now, He knows all of our sins, but He says, confess with your mouth. He says, repent, and repentance is not out of style among these end-time Christians. We need it. We need it. I want to read just a moment on a rebellion and let the Lord. I'm not going to say too much. I'm just going to read it. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to let you hear it in revelational knowledge. All right? Open up your hearts now. Second chapter of Ezekiel, if you want to turn to it. Now, you know the Old Testament is for us today. Now, in the Assemblies of God. Now, my daddy was an Assembly of God preacher up until 3 weeks ago, and God took him. He was 82 years old. He had been saved. I had been saved as a little girl, 10 years old. It will be 50 years this coming January since we were saved. And I had never been in a church before that, except to my grandfather's funeral, and it was a Masonic funeral. Now, if any of you are Masons here, you need to get the book on the book table about the Masonic lodges. It's of the devil. That's as clear as I can make it. It is of the devil. And so is Eastern Star. And so are a lot of... I belong to the Zonta Club. That was, oh my, was that something big and important. They only allowed one profession into the club in each chapter. And I was in as an engineering something or other. And I used to go there and I used to think, what a waste of time. I didn't even know it was wrong. I just thought it was a waste of time. And he, that's God, said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. This is very modern, up-to-date language, isn't it? We know that the modern church world, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, we have been a rebellious house. They are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. When Ezekiel got through talking to them, they knew he'd been there. They might not like what he said, but they knew it. And the Holy Spirit won't let you forget it. You know? He's very faithful to do his work. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You see, these spirits that get into us, they look out through us and out through our faces. And sometimes what I see, it makes your blood run cold. But we are not to be afraid of that. The Lord said, don't be afraid of that, Ezekiel. Don't be afraid of them. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. We all have to be very careful, even after we are delivered, that we don't become rebellious again to something God is telling us to do. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. Now, the Lord goes further in his word, and he says, rebellion is as witchcraft. The more we rebel, the more witchy we get. That's right. That's right. Because it's God's word. And that's what we are working on in this move, to get the rebellion out of us, to get the witchcraft out of us. We have delved into it unknowingly. There was a woman here Thursday. She didn't know it was wrong to read horoscopes. There are many people who come here that go to palm readers. They come here for the first time, and we ask them something about it. Have you ever been to a palm reader or a fortune teller? Oh, we go all the time. They haven't known, but once they know. See, God says, I'll put a curse on you if you do that. Now, we don't like to think about God being so nice and lovely, putting curses on us. But he said he will do it. He says, I'll put a curse on you if you don't pay your tithes. I'll even put a curse on you if you don't give glory to the Lord. That's in Malachi. To his name. Now, this move of God has a lot to do with the name of Jesus, doesn't it? So you have to be very careful. Now, Glenn and I were very getting along just fine in our rebellion in the early 60s, God began to move on us. And in 1965, he supernaturally sold that business that we were all wound up in. And whatever we do it with all of our might. We just work. And the Lord told us once that he had made our bodies as strong as elephants. Well, if he made me as strong as an elephant, then don't reprimand me all the time for working so hard. And if he made Glenn as strong as an elephant, then don't criticize Glenn for working so hard, because God made us. He said, I made you. Through many circumstances and the vision that God gave to Glenn, and I fought it. Boy, was I a rebel to my husband. I hated to obey him most of the time. I just kind of did. I was pretty independent. And I thought I knew everything there was to know about everything. But God dealt with me in that realm. And if we can't obey our husbands, we'll never be able to obey God, because that's rebellion. Anyway, I dragged my feet, but I'm here. I know how far. The old timers know the Spirit of the Lord. We know when the Spirit of the Lord moves. And I knew all the time that it must be the Lord, because Glenn had never acted like that before, running around trying to find a clear stream of water with a waterfall and a mountain all around it. And I was just, I just hated for him to keep talking about that to all of our nice friends and all those affluent people that we ran around with. I thought I would look at him. He didn't look crazy. But he never let up. And it took us 7 years to get here. But the Lord is working my rebellion out. I don't say it's all gone, but I'm letting him work on me day by day. And I know what it is to give up father and mother. I know what it is to give up children and houses and lands. I've done all that. I didn't know about that when I came here. If I could have seen what was ahead in this past 6 years, I probably would have said, I can't do it. My mother and dad were Assembly of God preachers, had been for years. We knew what it was to throw away our medicine. When I was 10 years old, my mother took the aspirins and the syrup pepsin and the whatever, all of it, threw it in a coal hod and went through it in an old well. That was a way of life in the early Assembly of God churches. We didn't go to doctors. We were prayed for and we were healed. I never took a pill or even went to a doctor until I went when I was ready to get married and had to have the blood test. And that was a big trauma in my life, to have to go to a doctor. That was just a way of life. We sat out at the table in the early days, opening up new churches. We wouldn't have any food, maybe. My brother and I, we just sat down, and my dad and mother prayed, and we just sat there and believed somebody would knock on the door and bring in the food. But when we got married, and then we moved to California, and the World War II came, and then we got the jobs, and then we got a headache, and it was much easier to take an aspirin than it was to pray for a headache. And when anything really happened, we didn't really know how to pray. We had to call my mother and dad from northern Missouri and have them get on the train and come out there and pray for us. That's just how bad off we were. Now, when I got married, I had a real flow of tongues in the spirit, but Glenn's minister had taught him that you only pray in tongues once when you get it, and then you never pray again. Unless the glory hammer hits you. So, as a wife, we would get down to pray, and I would pray in tongues for a little while, but then pretty soon I didn't pray in tongues anymore, because he didn't. And then pretty soon I became so bound, but I didn't know I was becoming so bound. I was so blinded. And I just became like this. And I became a nervous wreck. And four tranquilizers and all kinds of other pills was a way of life with me. Until one day I really snapped, and they had to put me away in a psychopathic ward. And here I was, the Miss Big supervisor at Lockheed Missile Division. And here I was, what I thought, Miss Somebody, but I'm telling you, pride will cause you to fall. Because God has a lot of rug factories, and he knows how to jerk the rugs out from under you. Well, God, in his mercy, through my husband, who called the Assembly of God Church that we were going to together, and he said, now, Irma is no better after 6 weeks. They were giving me one shock treatment right after the other. And he said, I believe if we'll fast and pray that God will heal her. But the Lord has showed me that we must come to the church to do this. So they came. There wasn't very many. Oh, they were all interested in me. I was kind of, you know, the head, and Glenn was the Sunday school superintendent. But not very many wanted to come and fast and pray. But a few came on Monday morning. And by Thursday, I woke up. I just came right up out of it. And the Lord healed me.
When we first put her in the institution, I went to the pastor and to some of the deacons, and I said, I believe she's demon-possessed. And they boo-hooed me and laughed at me. But that's the first... I had never even thought of it, but that came to my mind, and I went to them and told them that. And they made fun of me. Said, it's impossible, it can't be, it's just her nerves, and she just snapped. But it was demon possession. We know that today, see. But they refused to accept the fact and made fun of me. So therefore, who was I to tell them who was supposed to be my leader?
The Lord has restored my mind. And Derek Prince once prayed for me for a spirit of forgetfulness. Now, Glenn always thought I could remember everything. But, you know, I couldn't really remember the Word of God. But I didn't know I couldn't remember the Word of God. But I used to sit in church. I used to think, now, Lord, we excel in everything out here in the world that we put our hands on. But why don't we excel in the Spirit? And I never really understood why, but I was hungry. And then we came under the ministry of Derek Prince. And the minute I heard him, I was scared to death, or something inside of me was scared to death. But I knew he was telling the truth. But he never prayed for me because I was so afraid. I would even go out of the services. I don't blame some of you for being afraid and running out of here last night, because those the services were like he was having, and that was, I had so much fear in me. And I still had some tranquilizers that I took. But a man named Wilburn Duncan from Oregon held a 7-week meeting in Los Angeles, and Glenn taped it. He was asked to tape it. And he, after 7 weeks, I would go to the meetings, he would come, and he would prophesy over me, and he would say all the things that's happening now was going to happen way back in 66 or something when he was telling us all that. And I'd get so mad at him. Oh, I would just rant inside, and I wouldn't go for 2 or 3 days, and I wouldn't go to the meeting. I'd have every excuse in the book. I didn't want to go. But I really wanted to go, but there was something in me that was pulling me back. Do you have that problem? You want to be totally delivered and set free, but there's something that pulls you back. But after the meeting was all over, he called us, and he said, there's 5 couples God has showed me that I should pray for, that God wants to use in a mighty way, and you're one of the couples. Could I come to your house and pray for you and deliver you? So he came. I said, oh, yes. I got my clothes basket. I lined it. We had a big, beautiful 4-bedroom, 4-bathroom house with maid's quarters and the whole bit, living on a street with 5 doctors, a 1-block street, and it was a brand new home. And everything was perfect, white carpets and red carpets and white furniture, and everything was just so-so. And we were making, I suppose then, about $2,000 a week. And he came, and I got all ready. I didn't want my carpet stained, and I thought I was going to heave up probably a whole bushel basket of gunk. And he came in, and he laughed. He makes it so easy. He started to laugh at me. He says, you're really ready, aren't you? And I said, I'm really ready. And he rattled off everything from Jezebel down to fear and everything. He rattled off about 50 demons of hell. And a great big thing way down inside of my innermost being just came out like that. And I began, the Holy Spirit literally exploded down in me. He was still down there. And I began to prophesy. And I was standing like on this level, and he was down in our sunken living room. We were almost just kind of head to head. He was real tall. And I was throwing my hands, and I just went across his forehead like that, and he just went out like a feather from the power of God. But I thought I'd done something. I thought the devil had done something bad through me. I didn't know what was going on, really. And then that was the beginning of my deliverance. I was so happy. I remember the next day we had a lot of strawberries in our backyard, and I was making strawberry preserves, and I was praising the Lord in my kitchen, and I was just, oh, I was having such a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, I saw a vision in my mind, and I saw some big black monster. And I saw him in my mind's eye in the backyard, and I became very fearful, and I just trembled. And I quit praising. I didn't know what to do. And that fear had come back to haunt me. So we phoned him that night. You see, now, we hadn't had any teaching at all. We had just heard Derek Prince once or twice. And when you go to those meetings, even though that meeting was 7 weeks long, that didn't mean I heard everything that he said, because the enemy closes your ears and doesn't let you hear a lot of things. So anyway, we called him, and he commanded fear to leave, and I was all better. And then he came back the following April, and he prayed for me again. Now, occasionally I would take a tranquilizer, but I was much better. And I had had a hysterectomy, a total hysterectomy, when I was 32 years old, and I had been on estrogen for maybe 10 years, I don't know, and shots and whatnot. But he prayed for me again. And he came against sorcery. Now, sorcery has to do with drugs of any kind. Aspirins, tranquilizers. And he came against sorcery. And this is not very nice, but I'll tell you what happened. This is what happened to me. I was there. About a cup of the darkest yellow corruption came out of me. And I was delivered from taking pills once and for all. Now, one time, now that was 66, I guess, wasn't it, Glenn, or 7? One time our married son and his wife borrowed the Winnebago to go on a weekend or something, and when they came back, I was out kind of cleaning out the Winnebago, and I saw a box of aspirin in the silverware drawer, and my first thought was, throw that away. But I didn't, because the second thought, you know what the second thought was? There's no use throwing that away. They'll just waste their money and buy another box next time they go. I better leave that in here for them. Boy, was that the devil telling me that. About Tuesday or Wednesday, Glenn goes downtown, and all of a sudden, I got the worst headache. Oh, it just hit me like I'd been hit in the head. And all I could think about was those aspirin out there in that drawer. And I went in the bedroom. I didn't know where the keys were to the Winnebago, and Glenn loses keys like, and he puts them every which way. So I went in there, and I found that key right away. I walked out. I opened that Winnebago. I got the box of aspirins. I came in, and I took two of them, and then the devil began to laugh at me. That headache was gone just like that. The aspirin didn't take effect. The headache left. He began to laugh at me and taunt me. And I commanded him to go once and for all, and that's the last aspirin I have ever taken. God is my healer. We do not need pills. We do not open ourselves or need to open ourselves up to pills and tranquilizers. God wants to deliver you and heal you. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. He means that. He is God Almighty. He wants to make our bodies whole and perfect. I never took another estrogen pill, and I never had another hot flash. The Lord delivered me from all of that. Praise the Lord. Before that, I was in and out of hospitals. It's a good thing we had insurance. Thousands and thousands of dollars. I'd been in a car accident. The devil has tried to kill me since I was born, from the day I was born. Brother Duncan broke a curse of death on me. I had gone to death's door time and time again with whooping cough, with scarlet fever, with measles, all the childhood diseases before we were even saved. And a car accident, I had a terrible concussion. My brains were thrown sideways, and my ear, inside of my ear, was all broken. I couldn't see. I couldn't hardly walk. And I used to hold myself like this, and I would try to work. I'd pass right out at Lockheed, but I wouldn't faint. I'd just get so weak, I'd just fall on the typewriter, and I couldn't sit up. I'd just be helpless. They finally put me in the hospital and went for an exploratory, and that's when they discovered that my spleen had been ruptured in that car accident, and I should have died on the street. All of my doctors said, you don't live through this. And they used to tease me about how I should have died on the street, but yet I came out of it. But because of that adhesion that had grown out of that spleen and grew all down through me, that's the reason I had to have the hysterectomy. But, you know, while I was in the hospital, they took all of my intestinal tract out and bladder and everything, laid it on the table and cut it all apart. I couldn't digest any food, and I was just a bundle of nerves at that time. Now, this is before my deliverance. And while I was there in the hospital for 17 days, just in terrible pain and at the point of death, the doctor said, "Irma, there is something in you that wants this codeine and this dope." And I could literally hear something crying down inside of me, but I didn't know anything about the devil. I didn't know anything about deliverance then. 57, and I would cry. He'd give me a strong shot and pills, and I'd cry and claim I was in pain, and I really thought I was, because that enemy was in there just trying to make me a dope fiend. He comes to kill and to destroy us in all ways, but Jesus is so faithful. Finally, the doctor said, "You have to go home. You're not getting any better here now. You have to go home. You're all right." Well, I moaned and cried, but when they'd stand me up, I'd faint, but he made me go home. And that night, I began to hemorrhage. Glenn called, and they took me back to the hospital. And I had some kind of strange, odd blood, and they didn't have any blood in there. They'd sent it to the blood bank. So they got me all fixed and gave me a sleeping shot or something, and I went to sleep. But in the middle of the night, a nurse heard somebody walking down the hall. And in those days, they used to put the real, real sick ones right kind of close to the nurse's station. They didn't have intensive care in those days, and I was up kind of close to across from the nurse's station. It was about 3:00 in the morning. She heard somebody walking down the hall. She got up and she walked clear to the end of the hall. She didn't see a soul. But as she came back, she just happened to glance toward my room, and blood was running out into the hall. And I was literally bleeding to death. Well, they threw on the lights. They didn't have any blood for me, and all the doctors and everybody come running, and I was laying there. My hands were all swiveled, and I was just laying there kind of, you know, half out. And they brought in a bottle of yellow glucose, and they began to stick my legs all up and down in my arms, trying to catch a vein. And they were all collapsed, but they finally got some in. And the nurse made a big fuss about if that person hadn't made a lot of noise walking down the hall, they would have never found me, and I would have been dead. 10 years later, in Calgary, Canada, a girl standing beside me in a Holy Ghost meeting in the afternoon at a full gospel convention had a vision. And she said, "The vision is for you." Nobody had ever had a vision. We didn't know anything about visions in those days. And Glenn hadn't had his vision yet. And she said, "I saw a little lamb laying in a pool of its own blood, wounded." And she gave me that scripture. "And when he passed by thee, he said to thee, live." When Jesus says to you, live, you're going to live. He walked down that aisle that night, and he said to me, live. And I lived. I didn't know what that vision meant. We went upstairs that night, and I said to Glenn, she gave me two scriptures. "I washed thee with water and anointed thee with oil. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said to thee, live." And as I began to read that, my mind went back 10 years before, and I knew it was Jesus who passed by. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is so faithful. We are here under divine guidance of Jesus Christ. We did not think this place up. I'm telling you, I would have never thought this place up in a million years. But the Lord moved on Glenn, and Glenn saw it. We are the most unlikely people to be the leaders here. Moses was very unlikely, but God said, "I will be with your mouth, Moses." And God has told us, "I will be with your mouth." We love all of you people. We want to see you all delivered. And God has brought you wonderful people here. At every camp meeting, the pattern is a little different, but the theme is the same. Growing up into God, growing up into maturity, letting Jesus clean us, purge us, cleanse us, and move through us. The Holy Spirit is very strong here this morning. He wants to deliver us. I want Jay and Becky and Teresa to come forward. Oh, isn't Teresa here this morning? Okay, could you come up? And I want Mrs. Wise and Diane and Brother Alton. Is that your name, Alton? From Minnesota. I want you to come up. Sister Fite, I want you to come up. God has delivered these people. I want Becky come and say a word.
You know, we were here from June of 77 to June of 78. We stayed a year. I had never really been in a deliverance service like we had here. Never witnessed it. And except just once, we had a minister that came to our church, the Assembly of God Church in Winkelman, Arizona. And he talked somewhat about it, and I just really couldn't accept it. And then when we came here not knowing this was the Deliverance Center. We received Glenn and Irma's letter we had for some time. And, you know, there'd been a longing in our heart to come here. And I guess God didn't reveal to us beforehand that it was a Deliverance Center, because I don't think we would have come if we had known. And but that year, there was many problems in the church. I was hurt very deeply. And I thought, God, I've got to have something from you. I can't go on like I'm living. And we went up into Colorado and met my husband's brother and his wife and had vacation for 2 weeks with them. And I had taken Glenn and Irma's letter. We received it just before we left. And I put it in my Bible. And I told our daughter, Teresa, she's 16. I said, let's pray that God will lay it upon Daddy's heart to go with us to Lake Hamilton, to the Bible camp. She said, okay, Mom. So we prayed about it. And then my husband's brother and his wife decided to leave a few days early. And so I approached Jay. I said, would you like to go on to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp? He says, I'd love to. So we came. We didn't understand a lot of the things that we saw, but I thank God for them. And when we returned, I was rebellious in many ways, and I felt it in my whole family. We received help, but not all the help we needed. And so when we knew that we had to return to Arizona and sell our home or stay there, whatever God wanted us to do, and several times in the past 2 years, we just returned this past June. And, you know, we prayed for about 6 months before we put our home up for sale. And we said, God, if you want us to go back, that's where we want to be. We just want to be in your will more than anything, because we weren't happy at home. We'd try to get involved in the church. We attended a little independent charismatic work. And, you know, Brother Ellen would preach a message here on the left-handed Christian. I don't know, some of you may have heard it and some of you haven't. But I never felt so left-handed. And I said, God, how can you use us at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp if we can't involve ourselves here? But there was not the hunger and longing, and yet there was many needs there. And people, we didn't really step out and try to pray for anyone in the church, because we felt somewhat of a spirit of rejection in that way in the church. So a few people came to our home, and we thanked the Lord for the opportunity. We were very ignorant in many ways, but, you know, God honored it, and there was people that was helped in our home. But anyway, I had finally come to the place after about 2 years, I thought, well, God, you must not want us to go back, or you would have provided a buyer for our home. And so we took it off the market last November. And I may be taking too much time. But anyway, when we took it off the market, well, then we had another family that approached us in January and says, I understand you had your house up for sale. Would you like to sell it? I says, well, yes. And Jay had gone to Tucson and was working for about four months there in some security work. So I got a hold of him and told him these people were interested. But the company, the mining company, Kennecott Copper Company, that my husband had retired from, well, this man was also working for them, and he hadn't been working there long, and they were afraid to sell their home until the strike talk, which they're all on strike there in Arizona now. But he was afraid to sell his home for fear he might, you know, be let go from his job. But anyway, there was another man, a teacher from the school, that came then later, and he says, I understand your home is for sale. And I said, well, we have a party interested in it, but we're not sure whether they're going to be able to take it or not. And he said, well, I'd like to buy it, but I have to sell my home in town before I can. We were 2 miles out of town. So then I didn't have a good feeling about that. I don't know why. And I went to Tucson, and I talked to my husband. I said, you know, if this, I'm supposed to call this man back in a week. And I said, if he's called, you're going to have to call him, because I was just real upset. So I said, in fact, I don't want to sell my home. I don't want to move to Arkansas. And I don't want to go to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And, you know, I meant that. And because there was a rebellious spirit had rose up in me again. In fact, I think I was a little bit angry at the Lord because I felt he just wasn't working things out like it needed to be worked out. But then I returned, and Jay told me, he says, well, if you don't want to sell our home, we won't sell it. And I says, I don't want to sell it. That's the way I feel. And on the way back home, I had about 80 miles to drive home. I began to pray, and I says, God, I don't want to miss you. I says, I know that you want us to do something, Lord, help in some way. And I just ask, Lord, that you show us and that you don't let us make a mistake. I says, all I want is to be in your will, Lord. And I began to kind of weep before the Lord. And Jay had prayed the same way after I'd left, and I didn't know it. But I said, God, if you want us to move to Lake Hamilton, you provide a buyer for our home. And I says, Lord, do it soon and make it a cash buyer. And, you know, within a month's time. Well, Jay came home about 2.5 weeks after that. And this man, one day when I was at work, this man came to the door, and he says, I understand your home is for sale. He says, well, I don't know. I changed our mind. We hadn't either one told each other what we had prayed, you know, how the Lord had kind of dealt with us after we had left each other that time I'd driven to Tucson. So then he did tell him, he says, but if we should sell it, it'd have to be cash. He says, well, I can pay the cash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he told me that evening when I came in, just a settled peace came over me. All the packing I had to do, well, you know, God gave me peace in doing it. And I've had a peace here. The enemy's kind of harassed us somewhat, tried to, as we set up our mobile home. But I think he does all of us. So I just praise God that we're here. And I know God has us here for a purpose, for help in our own lives and to help in whatever way we can.
Becky's my next-door neighbor. Becky and Jay. Jay, you want to say something?
Well, I'm back here.
Jay and Glenn are just alike. They just work and work and work.
They tell us we're crazy, but you know, the Bible tells us we've got to work till Jesus comes. I've been retired once, but I've started all over again, it seems like, since I've come down here, because the work here it goes on constantly all the time. It's always, it's the everlasting, seems like. But you know, the reason I'm here is because God laid on my heart a long time ago. I've mined copper for 39 years, worked in the copper mines. And I've made a good living. I've had everything I've wanted in the world, you know, things to do with and all this. And we've had struggles like everybody else and just poor working people. But I've never done nothing for the Lord. I never really got saved till I was past 50. And then after I did get saved, I really got a dose of it, you know. I really got saved, and God delivered me of my cigarettes, my filthy mouth, and everything that I had that goes with it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so now, what time I've got left and what little I can do, I want to do it for Jesus. So he moved upon us to come here. And we're not here because of me. We're here because it's in God's will that we're here. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here, because I didn't have to. I have an income that where I can make a living, you know, without starving to death. And this is needed this day and time. If you don't believe it, you get out around some of your churches around over the country and see how they're split going hot springs here. It's the only place you need to go. 4 and 5 and 6 splits off of one church. And all they do is sit there and the preacher has nothing to do with the church anymore. He's just a tool that they run off. And if they don't like the way you smile, they run you off. And God told me to get out of that thing. And I've got out of it, and I'm going to stay out.
Praise the Lord.
And so, if any of you have got some spare time that you don't need, if the Lord moves upon you, we can use you down here. There's 100 acres of timber to be cleaned out. We've got 1,000,001 things to do here till Jesus comes.
Amen.
And I love every one of you. The reason I'm here is because of this ministry, to help any way that I can. I'm ignorant, don't know anything about it. I've even tried in my own home, and it scares you to death, because if you're not grounded well enough, why, there's a fellow once said, you need to start a deliverance ministry here. And I said, no, I don't. That is in Arizona. Because if you're not grounded, better stay out of it until you learn. And that's what I'm here. I'm here getting delivered and learning. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. The Lord says, come out of her, my people. I think he meant that, don't you? Jay heard that voice, and he listened. Charlene Fite is really my neighbor down the street, but she lives in, where is it? West Plains, Missouri. I call them, is Charlie here? Mm-hmm. Oh, I call them the charcoal people because they manufacture charcoal up in West Plains, Missouri. They have that large charcoal plant that puts lighter fluid right in it, and you don't have to fool around lighting your charcoal. What's the Lord done for you?
Well, I was one of those Baptists that so worked herself, and I was unsaved at the same time. And I worked at it so hard that I ended up in the psychiatric ward. And I was on drugs and tranquilizers and shock treatments for 3 years. And I had a blood disease that I'd inherited from my father. The capillaries to my veins would break, and I would hemorrhage all over my body and in my head also. And I would have these terrific spasms and problems. And while I was in that psychiatric ward, I didn't realize that it was rebellion. But when they would tell me to do things, I would tell them no. And they wanted me to embroidery, and I didn't like to embroidery. So I would just send it sailing across the room and tell them I didn't need the embroidery, that wouldn't help me. In a way, that was true, but it was also rebellion. Mm-hmm. And God sovereignly delivered me from that and healed me. And the Baptist pastor in West Plains, Missouri, and him and his wife received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they told about it. And I was so hungry, I desired it also. And the Lord saved me and filled me with the Holy Spirit. But I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I was so proud and full of pride that I just went everywhere telling this, and I lost my healing 5 times. And I couldn't understand it until I received teaching that if you will wait until people ask you, they'll receive it.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.